are so thankful for today.
Amen.
We thank you for the river of living waters. You said, he who comes to me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. We thank you for these rivers, oh God. We thank you for the life within us. And we pray, Lord, today that the rivers of life will flow out of us, through us, among us today, Lord. That, Lord, that we might be more exceedingly glad, Lord, for your presence and the ability of you to deliver us out of every circumstance, out of every problem. There is nothing that is too difficult for thee, O God. And we thank you. We thank you that you have brought us together. We thank you, Lord, that you delivered the Dubuque brethren from their car problems and brought them here today, O God. And we know, Lord, that there is a plan and there is a purpose why you have gathered each of us here today. So we ask for our portion, Lord. We ask for the bread of life, that it might be broken among us, that we could say that we are more than well satisfied. We commit this meeting into your hands. We commit our lives into your hands. And we pray your will be worked in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. This is our fourth day of our youth conference, right? Is that true? Huh? Number four is tribulation. But what does tribulation? Tribulation worketh patience. And patience worketh experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because of what? Because the love of God is shed abroad upon our hearts through the Holy Spirit which he has given unto us. Huh? So we're to rejoice in tribulation. Amen? Amen? The Dubuque brethren, were you rejoicing in tribulation yesterday? Amen. And it's a blessing because you were halfway. You had you could have made a decision to either go back or go forward, and you came forward. So we are blessed. We are blessed. Praise the Lord. As we start today, the Lord had given a theme for the youth conference, and talking about Daniel and talking about Esther and the various aspects. And this morning we're going to talk a little bit about prayer and waiting on the Lord. Okay, prayer and waiting on the Lord. So I'll put up here prayer. Now prayer is what? It's what? It's what?
Speaking to God.
Yes. Okay. Speaking to God. Okay, we put one, speaking to God. Now that has various subtitles to it, you could say. Anybody else? What's prayer?
Repenting of sin.
Repenting of sin? Well, yeah, you could. You, in your prayer, you can repent. That's very true. Amen. Because who are we repenting to? God, yeah. So we can have, in prayer, we can have repentance. Repentance. What else is prayer? Yes. Who's raised it? Yes. What else is prayer? What is it? Thanking God. Well, yeah, praising God. That's very good. Okay, that one works good. All right, thank you. So, prayer is also in praise. What does the scripture verse says about giving thanks? It says, in everything, give thanks. And thanks is really praise, you know. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, praise, giving glory. Would you say praise is also giving glory to God? Huh? Now, when we say praise, prayer is also, I'm waiting for somebody else. Anybody else have anything about prayer? Yes, Sam.
Supplications.
Well, yeah, in your time of prayer, you would have supplications. You know, you're entreating the Lord. You're calling upon his name. So we can put supplications there, Sam. That's good. How do you spell supplications? Two P's? two P's. Supplication. Put supplications. All right. Anybody else? Prayer? Prayer is also is worship. We can put worship there because it's our communicating with God, as we have up here, speaking to God. It's our communication to God. And you know, communication is not just one way, is it? Huh? Now, I want to draw a little something here. Let's see. Martin, which one's worked here? The black doesn't work, seem to work so well.
The blue is good.
The blue is good. Well, I wanted to make a little thing here, but I guess I will work it here. Okay. We're going to do this. Okay. And does anybody know what this is?
Thermometer.
A thermometer. What does a thermometer do?
Tells the temperature.
Tells the temperature, yes. So in a thermometer, you have what is called, what is it, mercury? We'll use red here. And then a thermometer has various degrees, right? Let's put this. Now we got one side, we'll have Fahrenheit. And of course, we'll have Celsius, so we'll have both degrees. So let's put here as 32 Fahrenheit, which would be 0 Celsius, right? Okay. So if we come down here and we put this at 0, let's put this at 0, what would it be Celsius?
Negative 32?
No.
Is it negative 20?
Minus 32.
It's more like minus 11.
I think it's minus 20, isn't it?
Minus
17.7. Okay. Well, we can do that. Minus 17.7. All right. Now, let's see. Let's do up here 32. Let's do 60. Oh, let's put 70 up here. So 70 Fahrenheit, what would it be Celsius?
20.
Okay. So it's 20 Celsius. And then let's put up here, let's see, 70, 30, let's put 90. Yeah, let's put 90. So what's that Celsius?
32.2.
Okay. And let's put 110 up here. That's hot, right? That's hot.
That's 43.
So what is it, Celsius?
43.3.
Now, can any of you think of a scripture verse that talks about a thermometer in the Bible? And prayer. Well, I thought one of you would have it. It's in the New Testament. Okay. Oh, okay. Who's giving the answer way in the back? Shh. Okay, did you hear what he said?
No.
You didn't hear what he said. Okay, well, boy, I hear better than you do. What is it, Hannah?
Possibly in Revelations.
Okay, I was thinking something else, but if you found one in Revelations, I'll be happy to accept it. What's
well,
that?
It talks about hot or cold.
Okay, well, that's
prayer.
A good one, yes.
Revelations 3:15
okay.
Says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot.
Right. Finish it up, though.
All right. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
Okay. So God, what does God want? Does God want us cold or hot?
Hot,
right? Okay. Now, if you would turn to James, I believe it's chapter 5. Go to James. It's the last chapter.
Verse what?
Well, I got to get there before I find that out. All right, you there? Do you know which verse I want then? Who does? Allie, do you have it? Okay, James. All right. James 5. And it says in verse 16, and Allie, being you're there, could you read that? And I would you like, I would want you to read 16, 17, and 18 so we get it into the context of it.
Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit.
Amen. So he's talking about Elijah, and it talked about the prayer of Elijah, and he also, James wrote, and gave a definition of the type of prayers that Elijah prayed. Do you think Elijah prayed cold prayers? Dead prayers? No, because the scripture verse explains that when he prayed, all heaven came to his prayer. So he prayed that the heavens would be shut up. And what happened? They were shut up, weren't they? And then when he prayed again, the rains came. But it says here that in verse 16, it says that we are to pray one for another. And then it says here the effectual. Now, what does effectual mean? The effectual,
something that has effect.
Yeah, that has an effect. It's working, isn't it? It's an operation, right? Not something that is inactive, but very active. And it also says here that the effectual, what's the next word?
Fervent.
All right? Now, that's also a very active situation. And if you look that word up, you're going to find out that that word fervent means to boil. Huh? So it's a passion. It's hot. Now, if boiling would go over to the top of this, wouldn't it? It would go. Huh? What is boiling point? What is the temperature for boiling?
100.
What is it?
100
Celsius. 100 Celsius. And for us over here on the other side of the pond?
212.
All right, that's boiling. So that means that the effectual or the effectual boiling prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay. Now everybody's looking at this thermometer here. Now you don't have to say it, but think in your mind where you think you're at in this thermometer in your prayer life. Are you down here? 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 Or over the top? Huh? Well, the Bible says that a righteous man that should have effectual, fervent prayer. Amen? No amens?
Amen.
Just a few amens?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there is something when we talk about prayer. Now, we're going back and we're going to talk about Daniel. You know, the interesting thing about Daniel, when you read the book of Daniel, you can fill in all the spaces. When you read of Daniel, it's, what is it? How many chapters is it? 12? And the last 5 or 6 chapters are actually dealing with various visions and prophecies that Daniel had of the latter end of time. But when you read the first part of Daniel, you see that here was this man who came on the scene as a young person like all of you. All right? They were of your age when they were taken out of Israel, when Israel was destroyed and brought into Babylon. Hallelujah. But there was a purpose and there was a plan. Yet that small book of Daniel spans, I believe, 4 kingdoms. It spanned from the time of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom in Babylon to the time of his sons, Belshazzar, to the time that it was Darius that came, which was, he was of the Medes. And then it also, he lived in the time of Cyrus, which was of the Persians. Hallelujah. And not only that, but he himself was given the interpretation of the dream of the image of the beast that that Nebuchadnezzar had, that spoke of what God was going to do. Hallelujah. Isn't that interesting? But what you do is, when you look into Daniel, you start to see the working of the character of the nature of God in Daniel as he walked in obedience to God. I imagine by the time he was Cyrus, he was a pretty aged man. You know, it doesn't say, but I imagine he was well into his 80s. Huh? So that means that when he went into the lion's den, he wasn't a young person. Sometimes you open up those little storybooks and here's a young Daniel. Well, no, it can't be, because he lived so many years and went from one kingdom to another. But there was something that was about Daniel that is so amazing, was the development of the nature and character of God within him. Hallelujah. And the interesting thing is, as we look into Daniel's life, how did he get there? Huh? How did he become what he was that spanned all these four kingdoms, and yet the very little times that he came on the scene, he spoke the word of God. Amen? How many of us would want to be like that? Huh? I mean, not to be lifted up, but to have the nature of Christ and the Spirit of God and the wisdom of God to be able to confound nations, to bring kings to trembling. Hallelujah. You know, when you look at that first time, you know, of course, the other day they were discussing about, you know, when Daniel and the three men purposed in their hearts that they weren't going to defile themselves. See, that's the start. Huh? Daniel would never get to another position except for first, he had to have his foundation sure. Okay? And what was his foundation needed to be sure in? God. And what foundation that he had to have in God was his faith in God. Okay? Here's the key. Faith is the key to everything. Huh? What scripture verse tells us that? There you go. Who said that? Oh, this young girl over here. I think she's older than 20. 11:6. Are you there? You want to read it? Okay. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:6. A good Bible student. She knows chapter and her verse.
I'm there.
Huh? Are you there too, Sam? Okay, but we'll let her read. I'll save you for another time. Okay.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen. So, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. How many of us want for God to be pleased with us? Okay, everybody's raising their hands up here. How about back there? Anybody of you back there? Okay. All right, we see a lot of hands back there. We want to be pleasing to God. And the Bible explicitly says, is it our money? Is it our dress? Is it our age? Huh? Is it our humor that makes us pleasing to God? Good personality? No. God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't regard riches. He doesn't regard age. He doesn't regard nationality. God does not look as man looketh, right? Huh? Because he judges man by the heart. He judges man by the heart. He looks into the heart of man. And what does he find pleasing? If he sees a heart that is active towards him, that wants him, that desires him. Amen? Hallelujah. So we see here what moves God, what pleases God and moves God is faith. Amen. And so with Daniel, there had to be a measure of faith, or there had to be an active faith towards God, that he was willing to lay aside all of the other how would you say, not the availability of what was being afforded to him in Babylon. You understand? He could have done anything. They were picked. They were the chosen to be trained, to study, so that they could be in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. But they chose, we fear God. This isn't the food that we eat. I'm not going to eat it. And they chose not to. And they even had the faith to say, prove us. Because if we eat this pulse, I think, what is it, vegetables? They were, you know, it wasn't the riches of the food of the banqueting of the king. But he says, prove us that if we eat this food, that we will be better in 10 days. And they found out that they were much better, huh, than all the rest. Hallelujah. And what was it, 3 years' time that they came, and when they presented themselves before the king, it says that they were 10 times better than all the rest. Now, there was something I was reading the other day, and I don't know, I wasn't here the first day if that was written, but do you know when the captain of the guard, he was fearful to just give him pulse because he would be in trouble then if they didn't look good. But he said, you need to be, because you're after your sort. Do you ever read that? It's in, look in Daniel. Let's look in Daniel. Hallelujah. I think it's the first chapter of Daniel. And it says, let me see if you can find it, tell me the verse. Yes, there it is. Very good. Thank you. Who found that? All right. Okay, you want to read 10? So this is Daniel 1, verse 10.
And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king.
Now, when he says your sort, that means of his own people. That means that there were others there that were taken from Israel. It wasn't just because they had took a number of them, but it was Daniel and the other three that had purpose in their hearts they would not eat after the king's table. That means that they chose among their own people. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm saying something to us this morning. When I think it was yesterday morning, let's see. No, it was the day before that I had the vision of seeing as we were worshiping the Lord to enter into the Lord. I saw a group of people dressed in blue, and there were other groups with different colors, but blue is that of sonship, huh? And that's what I was seeing running into the house of God, and that you here, all of us here, are called to be sons of God. Now, when we talk of Christianity, many Christians don't even understand the basics beyond salvation, or even that of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you would begin to talk to some that have walked with the Lord for 20, 30 years, that some of them do not know what true sonship really means. Because of the last days that we're in, the Christianity is such of a mixture. Okay? Huh? So what's mixed up into it is not only God, but things of the world. And it obstructs. And that's how the devil tries to keep the people of God into bondage. Huh? You know, he's not so fearful once you become born again, but he is fearful to those who are obedient to God that will walk in obedience to the Spirit of God, because that's the danger that he faces, is a person filled with the Holy Spirit and moving under the unction and authority of that Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. This was written and given to each of you at the beginning of the conference, right? And what was it? You were being summoned, right? It says, by decree of the king, you, the recipient of this document, are invited to the selection by which post and position within the kingdom may be filled in accordance to the words written, preserved, and now delivered. Hallelujah. And then I see here, it says faith, humility, obedience, dedication, consecration, strong, and courageous. Would you define Daniel as being like that? Yes. Amen? Now think of Daniel, and think of the condition of the church. Or we see the type of Israel in the Old Testament. They had gone so far from God that God says, I can no longer protect you anymore. You have rejected me, so I reject you. And yet, out of the midst of that, and the people were taken away, a number were taken away into Babylon, yet God's Spirit was still with those that had a heart for God. You understand? Huh? And this is what God is doing today. You know, I don't know what next year is going to bring. Do you? Do you know what 4 years will bring from now? You know, the countries that we live in may not be existing 4 years from now. Like in the time of Daniel. Israel ceased to be as a nation. Huh? What we have, peace and security here, brethren, may not always be here. And probably it won't be here. Why? Because we know midnight's approaching, right? And it says darkness is coming upon the face of the earth. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, but the reality is that God is going to return, but before he returns, midnight must come, right? But the thing that each one of you need to know is you have a calling and election in your life. Huh? And in that calling and election in your life, God wants to be very real to each one of you. And the only way he can be real to each one of you is you have to develop that relationship with God. And by developing that relationship to God, you must base it out of Hebrews 11:6, which says that he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them who slightly seek him. Huh? Who seek him once a month. No, diligently. That, do you think diligent is something you do once a week? No, it's constantly. Someone said constantly. That's good. Constantly seeking God. That's what pleases God. It says, you know, it says the Lord, the Spirit of God searches to and fro throughout the earth that he might find a one whose heart is completely his. And we see in Daniel, you know, this is what's so amazing about the Word of God. We could not live without this Word. Because this Word brings life to us. In many, many ways, you understand. Because the Word is God, and the Word was God, the Word is God. But in the Word is encapsulated all of God's plans from the time of when God made the heavens and the earth, all the way throughout all the kingdoms. And he records to us men and women that called upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's what, you know, it says that in Genesis, that when after the death of Abel, it says that God gave Adam and Eve another son named Seth. And they said from that time, men began to what? To call upon the name of the Lord. What does it mean, calling upon the name of the Lord? It means prayer. It means communion with God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the basis that our foundation needs to be is in faith. Huh? Faith to believe God. Faith to believe that when we come to God, when we come to God, what does it mean by when we come to God? Do I go and go to a physical door and knock and there's a physical God? No, God is a spirit. Huh? And so when I go to God and commune with God, yeah, you put your hands, prayer. You know, but prayer comes in many facets. It's not just directly praying and you understand. And it's important to do that. In fact, in the New Testament, Jesus began to explain more about prayer when he talked about having a prayer closet, right? Huh? He says that when you go into your prayer closet to pray, He says, do it what? Privately, right? Where no man seeth, because if you do so, God's going to reward you openly. Huh? There is a place that each one of us needs to develop our relationship with God. As much as we want to be overcomers, we will not get to that place without prayer. Amen? And prayer, again, prayer is talking, it's communing with God. Amen? Now, do you remember what Paul said? Paul says that we are to pray unceasingly, right? Huh? So how can you pray unceasingly? Do you ever think about that? Are you supposed to be in your prayer closet and be there for 50 years? Come out once a week to take a shower? Huh? Is that the type of prayer Paul's talking about? Paul's talking about being in the Spirit and communing with God unceasingly. Huh? Because the Bible tells us that when we're born again, that we are in a different realm, aren't we? Huh? We're no longer in this natural realm, but we are been birthed into the kingdom of God, right? Hallelujah. How many of you are born again? Amen? Okay, was that a little born again? Or a tall born again? Raise your hands if you're born again. Okay, all right. Praise the Lord. All right. So it says that God took us out of the kingdom of darkness and planted us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Paul also writes and says that we are seated in heavenly places. Right now we're seated in heavenly places. Even though we're right here. Huh? Right here at Thunderbird Lodge in Burnett, Texas. Burnett, Texas. Sorry, said it wrong. Burnett, Texas. We're here, but we're not here. We're in the heavenlies with God. Huh? We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't matter whether we feel it or not. God says that's where you're seated. And that's where God says that when we become born again, that God says we live in the Spirit. But it says that if we live in the Spirit, we need to what? Walk in the Spirit. There's the key. So if I've been born again, I've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, now that's where I'm in the spiritual realm, but now I have to make it a reality in this life, here, right now, at this moment, that I can begin to walk and talk and that the presence of God shines forth out of me. We were singing that song this morning, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Do you always feel like you have a river of life flowing out of you? Huh? Get upset with your sister or your brothers? Huh? That river of life isn't flowing. You're shutting it off. Then comes that human nature that wants to take over. Huh? That human nature is supposed to be put to death, isn't it? Huh? Buried. Huh? How many of you not only are born again, but have been water baptized? Raise your hands real high. Real high. Okay. That's great. That old man's buried, isn't it? That old lady's buried. Huh? That nature of your family, it's buried. It wants to rule over you. You feel it sometimes, don't you? Huh? It wants to have its right over you. But you got to say, no. I have Christ. Huh? I died. Bury that old man. Keep burying him. Keep reminding yourself. Hey, I remember that day I was water baptized. I said, I'm burying this man, this old man. I'm crucifying this flesh with its affections and its lust, and I'm rising in resurrection life with you, God. Hallelujah. See, you have to make what you did that day that you were water baptized. You made a covenant with God, and God always remembers that covenant, you see. He always remembers that covenant, and He wants you to always remember it, and you have to diligently walk in that covenant that I'm going to bury that old man. Hallelujah. And you know what? Take it from experience. You have to do a lot of repentance when that old man wants to come up and you give way to it. Because usually, not only you feeling it, but others feel it too. It's like bringing this corpse up and everybody smells this dead body coming around. Yuck! Huh? Well, that's what it is when we bring that old man up. We're supposed to be giving off life. But, you know, a corpse is dead, you know. There's no life in a corpse. Huh? Wow, my goodness. God help me. Huh? So I have to continually put it down. And the only way I could put it down is by my communing with God. God, save me from this man of sin. How many of you pray that? How many of you ever pray that? God, save me from this sinful nature. God, help me. I don't want to be unrighteous. You ever pray that? No? Wow. You must be a saint in your house. Wow. Come on. Don't you pray and say, God, deliver me from all evil? The evil's inside of us that we have to get rid of, right? Huh? Come on, you guys are looking funny at me like maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Am I the only one feeling that way? Come on. Oh, my goodness. We have to get rid of that old man. Why? Because God has called us to the kingdom of His dear Son. And God wants to work inside of each one of you such a power and a glory that God is so real to you more than anything else in the world. Hallelujah. And now, I'm coming back to prayer. Because prayer is our communion with God. We wrote it here, speaking to God. Remember, we were just talking of repentance. It's part as we walk with God. We're in communion with God. Hallelujah. And each one of you, young, slightly older than young. Okay, so I'm going. Now when I say young can be anywhere up to 25, you know. You're young. Don't take an offense if I say you're young. I mean, young is relative, you know. Some back here in their 40s or 50s say they're young. Well, that's what I was saying. See, we're moving back here, Bert. So the next several rows are slightly older than young. So you're in a good position. Now the people in the back row are in trouble, see. So they either move up to the front, because they could be double over than young. So, but we want to be young in heart. Amen? We want to love God. Huh? What's the greatest commandment at all? What's the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment?
Love the Lord God with all your heart.
Yes. Yes. And yes. There you go.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Oh, good. Do you do that second part too all the time? Do you do it to your sister all the time? You're working on it, right? All right, good. Hallelujah. We're all working on it. You see, when you look at Daniel, you fill in the pages. See, I look at Daniel and I fill in the pages. How did he get to be before King Nebuchadnezzar? He had to have a communion with God. In fact, we see the first thing in Daniel, we see how they were tested by not eating of the king's table. They purposed in their heart, right? But the next test came was when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he lost it. And he asked all the wise men to come and tell him the dream. And the wise men, now it's very interesting. Look at the difference between the wise men and Daniel. And the king knew it. Because they said, oh, king, well, tell us the dream. We'll give you the interpretation. He goes, I don't know the dream. He goes, well, we need to know. He says, you're delaying. He says, you're delaying for your life. I'm going to kill you if you don't know it. They were scared to death. Well, wouldn't you be? Without God? But it came to Daniel. And what is it? What's the name of the captain that came to kill all the wise men? Is it Arioch? Or it's. But he came and Daniel says, hey, why is the king so hasty? He says, hey, sorry, Daniel, I'm coming to kill you and your friends. Hey, wait, why is he so hasty? He says, nobody can tell him the dream. And he says, let me talk to the king. He went to the king. He says, give me time. Right? He says, give me time and we will get an answer from God. Hallelujah. Now what made, something had to happen in Belshazzar that he believed Daniel over the wise men that were stalling. Because they didn't have the goods. There was something that moved him that, well, he had seen them, he had put them into a position, but because he saw that their countenance and their wisdom was 10 times wiser than what all the other men were. But the interesting thing about Daniel, he did not yet receive He did not yet receive the understanding. He didn't have the dream. He didn't have the interpretation. But he knew God in such a way that he had the faith that he could go to God and inquire God. He says, don't be hasty. We will go seek an answer from God. So that means he had to have the faith to believe God that God was going to give him an answer. Huh? Isn't that true? All right, if that's true, how much is it that that type of faith needs to be in our lives? Hallelujah. And who is to say whether all of us at some time or another will be confronted like Daniel will be? How strong is your faith today? We sing that song, what if kingdoms tumble down? What if storm clouds roll? What if this world be destroyed? He'll take care of my soul. That's what Daniel and his three friends, there was a transition. Can you imagine as a young people, you're taken out of your land, everything you knew, into a land of false gods, idolatry, wickedness, and yet God was with them. God wants to so impart life to us as we dedicate ourselves to Him that whatever lies ahead, we will have that same nature and character as Daniel and his three friends. Amen? So they went and they sought the Lord. Daniel sought the Lord. God showed him the dream. God gave him the interpretation. Hallelujah. And he went in before Nebuchadnezzar and said, here is the dream. Here's the interpretation. You ever read it? And read it and read it. Read it. Enjoy it. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the power of our God. Nobody ever knew in all of the worldly kingdoms that there was a living God that could speak something that was hid from them. And Belshazzar knew it. And when Daniel came in, can you imagine the king of Babylon, and when he hears the dream, do you ever read, and then you put yourself in that position of that king, as all of a sudden it's gone from him, and all of a sudden he's hearing Daniel, and the words, and all of it's coming back to him. Oh, there's the dream now, and here's the interpretation. Enough so that when he was done, you know what Nebuchadnezzar did? It says that he bowed before Daniel, the king of all the natural earth. He was the king of kings. He was the image of gold, and yet he bowed down. He knew that in Daniel was something greater than what was in himself. Hallelujah. And that's what's in you as you walk in obedience to God. And it comes through a relationship with God in prayer. Okay, now we're talking about prayer. And all I can do is share from my own experience when I became born again, the joy of having the presence of God within me. Hallelujah. It was joy. Joy, 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 joy. Joy, joy, joy. Why? Because I was 27 years old when I was born again. And I had 27 years of death. Sin. Nature of George working in me over and over. Doing this, doing that. Huh? So when God came to me, it was a joy to know He forgave all my sins. One. Huh? How many of you are thankful for God for forgiving your sins? Huh? Some of you accepted the Lord when you were 5 years old, and you may not remember all your sinful nature, but you remember now how you can fall into sinful nature, right? Huh? So another thing is to be thankful to God. Huh? You can't just turn it on and turn it off. You have to develop a thankfulness. Huh? In everything, give thanks. Hallelujah. In everything, give thanks. You know, the last 2 weeks, the brethren have gone through a great trial with Brother George and Jill's family. Many of us know the situation that the tragic accident with George and Jill's daughter and losing Diamond and Donnie. And Diamond and Donnie weren't so distant little children. They were right into our fellowship. They were there. They would draw little things. They would hand it to us. In fact, Donnie, last June, came forward and says, I want to know Jesus. And we came together. We knelt down with him. Led him to the Lord. Hallelujah. Diamond also, I believe she had accepted the Lord sometime. Didn't you, Mary? Mary's nodding her head. But I'm sharing this because what blessed us was seeing George and Jill the week after. I don't know. I've never been put into that great of a tragedy. You know, I've known death of my family members, like my parents and that. But to think of two small children or two of your grandchildren. And when we were down there in Iowa City that week, we were talking with them. What was such a blessing was they were calling upon the name of the Lord. They didn't become bitter. They didn't start to say, why did God do this or that? They said, God is good. They began to minister life out. They became life givers in the midst of that hospital. And I said, thank you, Jesus, that there's something that was invested in it. And do you know the first thing they said was, thank you, Lord, that we had the children the week before because we hadn't had them for 2 months. We're thanking you, Lord, that we had that opportunity. Huh? Huh? They were being thankful. They would begin to minister. They began to pray. We began to pray with them. It was as what Job was. Job was tested and lost all of his children, lost all of his wealth. And yet Job says, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, we all felt the pain that they felt. Huh? That we would even give of ourselves so a lot young child would live. Hallelujah. But God is still sovereign. Yeah. And that's why the Bible says, you know what the devil means for harm, God can turn it around for good. Hallelujah. And you know, these two little children, Donnie and Diamond, they could be right here with us worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. We had they would come to the nursing homes with us, and we would praise the Lord together. And I have to tell you, it was something that I'll share with you. Some know of or not, but last it was what's today? Tuesday? It was last Tuesday, a week ago. It was three days after the accident. And I was going to the nursing home that we minister in. And I always take my one Bible with me. And for some reason that morning, well, it was God, that I just felt, no, I don't want to take this Bible. I want to take a Bible with a Bible case. I don't know why. So I go to my bedroom, and I hadn't brought this Bible out in months. And I zip it open, and there was a little piece of paper. Right there. Now, we were going to the nursing home because we had to share with the residents about the accident. Some of them were very close to the kids. And so anyway, I pulled this paper out, and here was a little piece of paper from Diamond she wrote. She wrote, to George, from Diamond, an eight-year-old would write. And then she wrote in big letters, praise the Lord, and a heart on it. You know, that was a message. In everything, give thanks. Huh? You know, it says, what does it say? Sorrow comes. Sorrow comes at night, but joy comes in the morning. Very good, Joseph. Joy comes in the morning. As believers, we do not die, but we live. We live on. Amen? There's a greater place. Where there's no more tears, no more sorrows. Amen? So we don't have to fear death. Huh? We miss people when they pass away, right? We miss them because we love them. But they've gone on to a greater place and we're to go on. There's going to be more heartaches in the church. Hallelujah. And the devil would like to make certain heartaches to take you away from your faith in God. But if you believe God, if you are cemented in your relationship with God on a day-to-day basis, you are going to build up your faith in God. It's like in a bank account. It gets put away. It's being deposited so that when you need to make a withdrawal, you have something to withdraw from. But if you are in the world and you are participating in the world and you are giving yourselves to the world, that's not life, that's death. Right? Huh? Just a few nods. And so that's why it's important to keep yourself as was being shared. Like Esther, she was being prepared to meet the king. That's what we're being prepared to meet is our king. Amen? Jesus is returning and it says he's going to return to all those that love his appearing. Yes. Hallelujah. So prayer. We're talking about prayer. Now, I found as a young Christian, one of the things that I learned about prayer, it wasn't just only getting down on my knees or in my prayer closet, but it's opening my heart up to God and being in communion with God. And you know, you can do that night and day. You can do it as you wake up in the morning. You can do it as you're laying on your bed at night. You can do it as you commune. You go out. Thank you, God, for this day. Amen? Huh? Or do you get up and you let all your problems weigh you down? Weigh you down. Weigh you down. Does that sound familiar sometimes? You see, it's training yourself how to walk with God, how to know God in a great way. You know, when I became born again, it was I was a mail carrier, and it was just a joy having God. And I think it was 6 weeks after I became born again, this particular mail route came up for the city. And it was one of the few, for anybody who's ever been to Dubuque, it's one of the few, there were like four or five routes in Dubuque out of 50 that were flat. Everything else is hills, you know, up and down, up and down. So, and if you wanted to bid on a route, you had to do it by seniority. And seniority was how many years you were at the post office. Well, I happened to be there approximately, I think, 8 years at that time when I became born again. And usually when you have just that little of seniority, you got the worst routes in the city. I mean, they were you know, rough routes, hill routes and everything. And this route 2 came up for bid. And all of a sudden, just a little something quickened. I wanted the route. And it's funny how God works. Because it isn't like God comes and says, "This is God. George, I want you to have this mail route." No. God just puts a joy in your heart to do something. If you're in the Spirit and you're wanting God, He is going to be directing your path. Doesn't that sound scriptural? Delight yourself in God and He will. Huh? Yes, He'll direct your path. And so anyway, this route came up and I thought, you know, I should try bidding on it. And they would let you go out and try it for a day, you know. And of course, there's 50 other carriers there. And I says, "Okay, I'll try route 2 to the supervisor." And I go out, and I remember this one guy, they all laugh, and they go, "What are you doing bidding on taking this route? You're never going to get it. There's no way you're going to get this route because it always went to the senior people. Always. It had the minimum for those downtown routes were 25 years or more." And I says, "Well," I says, "I'm just going to try it." So it went up. They put it up for 10 days. And sure enough, after it went down for 10 days, the senior bidder was some guy with 28 years. And the funny thing was, 3 days later, he bid off of it and he came back up for bid again. And I thought, "Oh, well, that's interesting." So I put a bid in again. Now, see, it's going 10 days, 10 days. All right. So the second time, it goes up for bid. I put my bid in, and a guy with 23 years got it. And I thought, "Well, I thought it was you, God." And so I thought, "Well, let me go up and ask him after a few days." So a few days I went up. I said, "Oh, hey, such and such." I go, "How you like the route?" "Oh, it's a great route. Great, great, great." I go, "Well, doesn't look like I'm going to get this." 2 days later, he decided to bid off the route. Now, this is 6 weeks after we were saved, you understand? And at that point, when I heard he bid off, I knew it was mine. I knew it was God. I knew it was God. Put in the bid, and now people were getting mad. Some of our guys were saying, "I'm going to bid on that route simply so you won't get it." And but, you know, God is still God. Third time after 10 days came down, I had the route 2. First time someone with 8 years seniority got this route. And that route I had for 14 years. It became a mission field. It became a training ground for me. You understand? And you know the marvelous thing about that training ground? I just commune with God every day. You know, I'd get out and I'd make a song and melody in my heart and I'd be singing and praising the Lord. You know? And someone would come along and, you know, I'm not the... You know, nobody would go out and buy a CD of me, I tell you what. You know, my... You know, but You know, I read where it says, make melody unto the Lord with your heart. Make a joyful noise. And I thought, well, I'm making a joyful noise. And I had to learn to overcome that I wasn't going to be so afraid if I'm singing. Of course, I'd sort of drop it down a few octaves or two, you know, when someone walked by. But once in a while, someone would walk around the corner and I'm singing out with all my heart. I go, well, he knows who I am. But you know, the interesting thing is the more I gave myself to God, something was working inside of me.
Hallelujah.
You understand? You know, you young people have to develop that. Because you're going to be tried when you get older. And you have to be so solidified. And there's testings that God does in your life. It's not just the devil. God tests you to see. You know, because we say, oh, praise the Lord, I'm going to serve you forever. Okay, let's have an altar call. Who's dedicating themselves to the Lord? All the church goes up. Huh? But you find out, you know, we found out through periods of time, we've seen a lot of people fall away. Why? Something was not solidified in their heart as they should. The ability that as you determine in your heart to serve God, what? To love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And like Daniel, you see, when you read at the beginning of Daniel and you read at the end, it's unbelievable. At the end of his life, what God did, he became part of the Word of God. He began to seek the presence of God. You read it in chapter 9, and it says Daniel not only walked with God, but he was in the Word. Do you understand? He was in the Word. You cannot be a strong Christian and not be in the Word of God. You have to study to show yourself approved. Huh? Man of God, woman of God. How do you think Deborah was? Do you think Deborah, all of a sudden, one day she became the judge? She grew in stature and wisdom. She must have been instructed so that when it was time that she was picked over all the other men, that means that there was a greater authority over Deborah than the men of that age that God used Deborah as a judge. Hallelujah. Amen? So Daniel, God showed him what was going to happen at the end time. And then what does it say in the Bible? I think it'd be something I would want God to say about me. He says, oh, Daniel, you are well beloved. He wasn't just beloved, he was well beloved. How many of us would want God to say that about us? Huh? To be well beloved. And the way that you and I can come to that place is by our communion with God, our loving God so much. You know, forget the fact that you make mistakes. We've all made mistakes. Huh? There's nobody that has walked perfectly here. Huh? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You look into the Old Testament. Abraham made mistakes, didn't he? He was afraid for his life. He says to his wife, tell him you're my sister. I don't want to die. Who was he preserving, his wife or him? Huh? He was preserving himself. But yet, and he had to pay the price. You know, anytime we make a mistake, we gotta pay that price. Huh? If we sin, we have to pay the wages, which is death. There's some death that comes to us. But thanks be to God that if we repent, the Bible says that, but it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So every time we go to God, God is reaching out a gift to us, repentance. Huh? That means He's forgiving. You come and you say, God, forgive me for what I've done to my sisters. Huh? Or I got upset at my little brother. You don't get upset at your little brother, do you? Get frustrated? Yeah, there you go. So you gotta, you know, when you find that that human nature comes out, you gotta go to God and you say, God, forgive me. I don't want to be that way. God comes. First He says, okay, Chloe, I forgive your sins. You're washed. I don't remember anymore. But He says, I'm also gonna give you a gift. Because you know, usually if you got a problem and you're getting frustrated with somebody, you also not only need to repent of it, but you need to ask God for something you don't have. Agape love, right? Give me patience. Give me a love. Because sometimes that someone who is not very unlovable, it's hard to love them, isn't it? Huh? Oh, come on. What, Patty's laughing back there. Come on. If someone's being unlovable all the time, it's hard to love them back, isn't it? Huh? But that's where agape love comes in. Huh? Brother DeCille always used to teach us. He says, you know, when you have somebody and they're being so bad, so mean, and you don't feel no love, God told him one day, he goes, at least have compassion upon them. And it puts you in a different perspective. You're not so offended like what they do to you, but you look at that individual and you think, my goodness, if that person keeps acting on and on, he's in danger of walking away from God. He's in danger of submitting to devils and could end up in hell. Oh, God, save that man. Forgive that man. Hallelujah. Deliver that man or that woman. Huh? See, that's agape love. And you can only get it as you are connected with heaven. That heaven can come and touch you. Or I should say me. I'm telling you, I've asked God many times to give me a love for people that aren't so lovable. Huh? And sometimes it's still a struggle at times. Say, God, help me. Huh? But the Bible says to bless those. Come on, help me. Bless those that what?
Curse you.
That curse you.
Do good to them that are evil.
That despitefully use you. Yes.
Pray for them that persecute you.
Yep. Pray for those that persecute you. See, God is wanting to work into us the nature of Christ. You know the story of Brother Richard Wurmbrand during World War II when he was being held, I think it was by the communists. He learned to rejoice when he got beaten, so he could give an opportunity to share with them the love of Christ. And some of them came to know Jesus through it. I mean, he was put to the max. You know, they'd take him out and beat him, and then he would say, God bless you. Gives me an opportunity to share with you about Jesus. Hallelujah. So, we're sharing these things because it's a nature of Christ that God wants to work in each one of us. And I'm expressly speaking to you young people because I believe that this is an appointed time for this gathering for the young, for you youth. It's for all of us. I think, you know, and we're not here saying, okay, you're all needing to learn. We aren't. I mean, we're all learning back here. We're still learning. Every time there's a message, there's a conviction going on in the back that we're renewing our covenant and conviction with God. Amen. But my heart, and I believe the heart of the brethren here, is especially for you because you're the next generation rising up. Huh? I'm starting to get some gray hairs here. Two or three? A little more than two or three, right? But I was young like you. But time comes by quickly. And God has a generation. For every generation, God has a people. And in every generation, not only does God have a people, but He's got a remnant out of that generation. There has to be a stronger one to lead the weaker ones. Hallelujah. There have to be ones that will not bow their knee to Baal. Or like the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Brother Martin was ministering last night and he said it was a revelation as he spoke. It wasn't something they didn't have to do. It was what the others did that they gave way. They just stood their ground. They stood what they believed in. Huh? It wasn't that it was coming. So, and I was hearing something in these last few days. That there is an authority, there's a presence that you have to realize that is in you as you walk with God.
Yes, amen.
Come on, listen to me. You may not feel it, and I'm telling you by experience, I've been there. I've been there. I walked many years feeling I'm of no good. I'm of this. The devil would like to beat you up all the time. Why? Because he beat me up all the time. And the more I listened to it, the more I felt beat up. And the more I felt beat up, the more I thought, I'm no good. I'm no good. That's what the devil comes. You're no good. You're no good. You're no good. No, you are good. Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, Joshua.
Hallelujah.
You're fearfully and God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of you. And you're just coming now into what Daniel and his three men came into. But now you are going to have to be challenged in your life. One, you're going to purpose in your heart, you're going to serve God. Two, what we're talking about this morning, you're going to have to learn how to commune with God on a day-to-day basis. Hallelujah. Sometimes you think, I don't know what to pray. Well, go read your word. Read the Bible. Read the Psalms. Look at what David wrote. David wrote half the Psalms. Hallelujah. And things that he got was when he was a shepherd boy out in the field. He was singing, making melody. You know, I think he sang better than I did. But you know what? Sing to the Lord. Give glory to God. Make it part of your habit. Not just when you come to fellowships. Huh? Sing in the morning. Sing at the noontime. Huh? We have a song. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him till the sun goes down. Hallelujah. God wants us to open our hearts up to Him. And you know, I keep going back to Daniel. Because this man, you know, it just spans. All of a sudden you read the word and it's probably 20 years later and all of a sudden here he is again. The kingdom of Babylon kept moving on. All of its things, all of its actions, all of its rulership. And yet Daniel's silent until when everything's ready to stop, Daniel comes on the scene again. He came to Nebuchadnezzar when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream of the great tree. And God was dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel not only interpreted, but he gave him an answer. He says, hey, Daniel. He said, Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, he says, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, break off your sins by righteousness. See, because Daniel knew the interpretation of the dream that God was going to judge Nebuchadnezzar. And he gave him a way out. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't really hear. Nebuchadnezzar kept the pride in his heart. And it said a while later when he was walking through his kingdom, he says, oh, look at this great kingdom of mine. Bam! The judgment fell. His mind went from him. And for the next 7 years, he ate the grass like the ox of the field. It says his hair grew on his back and his fingers were like the claws of an animal. Can you imagine how scared the rest of the kingdom was to shield what happened to Nebuchadnezzar from the rest of the world? They probably hit him and everybody, shh, shh, that animal there in the stall, it's Nebuchadnezzar. Can you imagine 7 years? They do that in this time. Oh, come on. Any of you know Russian history, they'll hide from you whatever if the leader's having a heart attack. Oh, yeah, the leader's doing well. He's suffering a heart attack. You know, they don't want people to know that the leader's ready to die because they don't want their enemies to take over their kingdom. So they probably hid it from all of the rest of the kingdom for 7 years until his mind came to him. You know, I think we might see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. Come on, truthfully. You know, when you read the word of God and you see the last thing that's recorded and he's making a decree, there's no other God but God in the heavens. He is able to bring down low those that are raised high. And that's what he gave glory to God. So you see the end of it. But did his son learn Belshazzar? No. No. He was a partier. Huh? He had no thought or gave no credence to God until a hand came in the midst of the party, written on the wall, and they're sitting there and they're drinking out of the goblets and the cups and that were made for the temple in Israel. They had taken it away and they brought it all out and they worship. It says, what do they say? They worship the gods of stone and of wood. And at that moment, a hand reached out. What's that?
Gold.
Of gold. Yes. And it says, a hand reached out and says, what was it? Many, many, usurpant. Okay. Tinkle, usurpant. And it says that Belshazzar. Now, do you think that the Spirit of God wasn't there to bring a fear in the midst of it? I mean, to bring not only the hand. Now, you got to also remember, these people worshiped sorcery, witchcraft, and idolatry. So they probably saw the things. But when God's hand comes and wrote, it smote Belshazzar to his bone. And he says, whoever can tell me what this means, I'm going to give a third of the kingdom. He didn't even know about Daniel. It was the queen You know, let me read it to you. It's so powerful. Belshazzar's feast 7. I'm chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Let's see. Let's get three people to read these. 10. I'm sorry. 10, 11, and 12. Who wants to read a verse here? You can read the first one, 10. Who wants to read 11?
Chapter 1.
You'll read 11? 12? Sam, you can read 12. All right, now you got to read it real loud for all of us, okay? All right.
The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet hall. The queen declared, O king, live forever. Let not your thoughts alarm you or your color change.
Okay, good. Verse 11. Chloe.
There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers.
Okay, and Sam, you do number 12, please.
Forasmuch the an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpreting of dreams and shewing of hard sentences and
dissolving
of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will shew the interpretation.
Okay, praise the Lord. Belteshazzar didn't have any memories of Daniel, but the queen did. And not only that, the queen not only had a memory of him, but she also spoke the nature and character that was in him. And also the maturity that had come to Daniel. Because he came not only from a young man and lived during Nebuchadnezzar's reign, but he came through Belshazzar's reign, and now here he was being called out of an obscure place, but coming forward and says that there is a man in the kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods is. All right? How many of you have God within you? Huh? Okay, you're like Daniel. Right? And it says, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, hallelujah, was found in him. And then when down in verse 12, she says, for as much as what? An excellent spirit. Huh? Oh, God, help us. Are we there yet? Can we all say we're up to that excellency yet? I want to obtain it. Paul said it, didn't he? Paul says, not that I've already attained, but that's which I reach out for. Come on. This is what we need to reach out for. Not that I've yet to attain it, but I want to reach out. I will not give up until, I receive the resurrection of Christ within my body. Amen. So he says, an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding. He began to say what was in Daniel. She says, the interpretation of dreams and the showing of hard sentences. And the dissolving of doubts were found in him. Now, you can go on and you can read it. But, you know, when Daniel came onto the scene, Belshazzar says, hey, are you the guy? Are you the guy that I'm hearing about? And he says, I'm going to give you a third of the kingdom if you can answer. He says, hey, let your gifts be given to another. I don't need them. Can you imagine you telling that to the king? Huh? He says, but God will show you what it is. Huh? He says, and Belshazzar, you knew these things. He says, it wasn't like you were hidden in a place. That means that God had given him an opportunity, Belshazzar. God gives every man an opportunity. Every man. Hallelujah. But he says, because of this night, your days are numbered and the kingdom is going to be taken from you. Hallelujah. Daniel wasn't going after any gifts. He was going after making money in the service of God. No. It's like the word says. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You don't know what God will add unto you. All you have to do is seek God. Hallelujah. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Okay, I'm finishing up here. So we see Daniel. And, you know, I would want to have the testimony Daniel had. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Amen. So we're going back. And as I'm speaking this morning, maybe we can assess how good is our prayer life? How is good our communion with God? How far are we going along? Or how much do we need to go along if we want to attain to be part of that first fruit company? Amen? To be counted among the elders that had a good report. Amen? Will it be here? All right, this is your own thermometer here, everybody. Okay, let's... Come on, are we wanting to go up? Huh? Get warmer outside, right? We came from Dubuque. It was awful cold up there. Come down here and boy, that thermometer wasn't... that thermometer when we left was probably about right here. But boy, oh boy, we were excited. Coming down to the Texas Conference, I could feel it getting warmer. I could feel the presence of God here. Huh? Now, it could stay right there, except for all of a sudden someone gets anointed and it quickens the rest of the people and whoa, we're starting to go up. Amen? Starting to give a desire for God more. Huh? You know, when you're cold, you don't have a desire to pray, do you? Huh? They'd be looking at me funny. Huh? When you're cold, you don't have the push. You don't have the eagerness. And one other thing. Can I just take 5 more minutes? Finish this up, because there was a thought the Lord gave me this morning. We're talking about prayer and waiting on God. Wait, wait, wait on the Lord. We sing that song. Wait, wait, wait on the Lord. Okay? What does wait mean? Huh? Is it passive? Wait. It's not like, okay, someone says you're at a bus station. Oh, wait at that seat until the bus comes. Okay? You're passively waiting. But in the scripture, that wait is an active, it's an interactive weaving with God. It's actually you're being woven with God. And let me just put it, because I thought of it this morning, and I was reminded of when Abigail and Sam got married in September. All right? And Sam, Abigail got all dressed up. They were looking beautiful. I mean, the bride was spectacular. And Sam, I didn't know it, but he was wearing his uniform dress on. He had it all shined, his shoes shined. He had his uniform on, and he was there, and he was up at the front, and he was waiting for his bride. Huh? Now, do you think he had an expectation? Huh? Do you think he was eager? Yeah, and that's what waiting is. I was waiting on God. There is an eagerness that we need to do in meeting with God. When Daniel went in to seek God concerning Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the beast, of the image of the beast that he didn't know, he had an expectation God was going to answer him. He had the faith to believe. He wasn't worried that he was going to die. He says, just give us time. We'll go and inquire of God. Hallelujah. He had an eagerness to come into the presence of God. So when we wait on God, it is a wait with faith. There's a wait with an expectancy that God's going to speak to us. You see what I'm saying? Prayer is not dead. Prayer is alive when you mix it with faith. And this is the thing that as we go back to James chapter 5, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Remember how we were talking about Abraham making mistakes? But it's recorded in several places in the Bible. One was that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. Huh? And he was also then called the friend of God because he communed with him. There was a place of a relationship with him. And it brings the temperature up. Prayer brings the temperature up in our lives. And it is before God, because when God sees that we really mean it, when we really mean it, and we're walking with God in such a way, the fervency and the faith in God begins to create in us a boiling and a place that brings forth God. Huh? You bring forth God when you have the power, when you reach out by faith in God, you touch heaven. That's why Jesus says to the man that came to him, what was it? His servant was sick. He was a centurion. And he said, the centurion says, Lord, I'm not even worthy for you to come in my house. Just speak the word, God, and I know he'll be healed. And God says, truly, I have not found a man with such faith as in all of Israel. I have not found it. Hallelujah. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things seen, and by it, the elders obtained a good report. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.